You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue here on a Tuesday morning. We've been talking about transgender issues. So what I want to talk about is economic nationalism. It involves, it involves the national security of the country. So what we've been sold by this by world leaders is that this globalism is the way that America needs to go down. This unfettered access to our markets and whatnot. And so what then becomes of the middle class, the jobs that have sustained the middle class for all these years? What becomes of those? They all get shipped out of sea overseas, and those industries are ceded to other companies. So so in the course of that, there was a well, I'm going to play the whole thing. If you'll give me a second. Steve Bannon appeared at a summit, Black Americans for a Better Future Summit in Washington, D.C. recently. And this is what he had to say. So I'll interrupt it, and I will hop in and make comments. But in my opinion, this is the message of a Democratic politician from the 50s, 60s. Focused on labor, focused on American jobs. Not focused on exporting our industries overseas so that we can get Christmas lights for $3 cheaper. All right? But that's what we've been sold. So, and I think I've always thought, how does it work? How do we reinvent all these jobs? And I think the answer is plainly clear to all of us now. We don't. And that is why the middle class of this country is vanishing, because it hasn't been economically protected. So, here you go.
We'll hear from former White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon. He spoke at an event organized by the Black Americans for a Better Future, a super PAC that aims to get more African Americans involved in the Republican Party.
So I'm going to introduce to you guys your speaker, but my friend. And some of you all have heard me ask this in the past, but there's a lot of new folks here. How many of you all consider yourselves reasonable people? Most of you all. You all are the wrong people. How many of you all familiar with George Bernard Shaw, the British playwright? Yeah. I had breakfast with him this morning, and here's what he told me to tell you. To every man, there comes a time in his life when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a great and mighty work unique to him. No, that's Churchill. The reasonable man adapts himself to the world, The unreasonable man adapts the world to himself. Therefore, all progress is dependent upon the unreasonable man. Michael Jordan was unreasonable enough to think that he could play in the NBA even though he got cut from his high school team. Jesus Christ was unreasonable enough to think through him being lifted up, all men could be forgiven for their sins. Barack Obama was unreasonable enough to think he can do a good job for black folks, but he failed. But I digress. Donald Trump and Steve Bannon are two of the most unreasonable people in the world. Steve Bannon is unreasonable enough to think that the black vote, the black business community, the Latino, Asian business community has value. This guy is busy as heck all over the world, but yet he made a commitment to come to address us, not to give a speech, but to open a dialogue. And when he talks to you today, and then we're going to open up the floor to some Q&A, questions, not sermons, that's my job. And he wants a relationship with this room here. And if you're not willing to build a relationship with Steve Bannon and the movement that he's creating, and he's asked me and each of you to be involved in, then you should leave now. But if you want to make America great again, if you want to create more opportunities for minority entrepreneurs, then this is the train you need to ride. And the train is leaving the station. Get your ticket, because Steve Bannon is the conductor. So let's bring up my buddy, Steve Bannon. Come on, give him some love. Give him some love.
Thank you.
All right, this is Steve Bannon addressing Black Americans for a Better Future. They're a super PAC, and their goal is to get more African Americans involved in the Republican Party. Okay, so here you have it. Interesting speaking style, and very interesting little comments he makes.
Does this work? Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here today to talk and open a discussion, as some of you have been at my other discussions with black and Hispanic entrepreneurs. The central part of economic nationalism depends upon you. It depends upon us empowering the black and Hispanic entrepreneurial community with one thing: access to capital. This entire movement that I'm very fortunate to be part of, and the C4 I'm starting, is going to have as a central thesis of it programs that stop the destruction of the black and Hispanic working class, and also empowers the black and Hispanic entrepreneurs to start to build businesses around American capital. Now, I want to talk a few minutes today, and I'm going to go from the very general down to the specific. And I think we have to have an adult's conversation about the situation, what our country is. Over the last couple of weeks, there was a very important speech given in China at the 19th Party Congress. This was before President Trump arrived for his visit. And that was by President Xi. And he outlined in 3.5 hours, I think it's a 68-page speech, the basic economic program of China and its geostrategic position in the world. And what they basically said is that this economic war that they've been at with the United States of America is essentially over, and they won. Over the last 30 years, and by the way, the effect and impact in your life is directly related to the geopolitical and the geoeconomic situation between the United States and China. Over the last couple of weeks, President Xi's speech, I'll get to that in a second. In addition, Brown University, which is no right wing, you know, it's no Breitbart, right? It's not a right wing news site or conservative news site. Brown is a quite liberal university. They have the Watson Center, I think it's called. Did an analysis. The global war on terror in 17 years has cost us $5.6 trillion. Okay? 7,000 dead, 52,000 casualties. I think the present value for the wounded alone is almost $1 trillion. I want you to think about what your country would be if we had $5.6 trillion that was invested in Baltimore, in St. Louis, in South Central L.A., in Detroit. $5.6 trillion over the last 17 years. Think of the people in your community, people in your family that have served in these wars. By the way, a war that in Afghanistan, we just had this annual, you know, the budget process. $70 billion allocated for overseas operations. $50 billion allocated to Afghanistan. Now, with the troop increase, and let's say we paid for the troop increase, that was $5 billion. What would Baltimore be like if for just 1 year we took $45 billion and invested in Baltimore? What would St. Louis be like if for just 1 year we wouldn't withdraw from Afghanistan, we paid for the troops, we took $45 billion of the $50 and invested in St. Louis? Or we took $45 billion invested in Detroit or Cleveland or my hometown, Richmond, Virginia? You'd have a renaissance of these cities, correct? I think that the out-of-pocket cash alone in Afghanistan has been $850 billion. And in 17 years, are we ever closer to victory today than then? $850 billion. President Xi laid out this program. I've got to remember, the elites in this country, both Republican and Democrat, Wall Street, and in technology, supported this. They said China, as it got wealthier, has become more democratic and more free market. It's not. China is a Confucius, mercantilist, authoritative dictatorship. But it's the mercantilist part. It's the mercantilist part. We have this fetish for free trade. It's this concept that came out of Europe and the think tanks over there and the political system. It's a radical idea. You know, I'm accused all the time of being a protectionist, of being an economic nationalist. I am. You know why? We're trying to protect American industry, and the reason is they protect their industries. You cannot understand the situation you're in and the lack of capital that you have until you understand the international situation. We're a tributary state to China. We are Jamestown to their Great Britain. We have a $500 billion trade deficit annually with China. And by the way, you know what we ship them just to keep it at $500 billion? It's cattle and hogs and wheat and copper and tin and oil and gas. Oh, and Boeing jets and Apple products. Excuse me, we don't do that anymore. Because with limited market access, our companies are forced to make everything over there. The jobs are over there. The forced technology transfers, not stealing our technology, which they do all the time. The forced technology transfers, the demands of our high-tech companies to give them their technology in order to enter China.
Now, this is really interesting, the forced technology transfer as differentiated by him, opposed to them stealing our stuff. This is what they force by making you produce it there.
It's $3.5 trillion over the last 10 years. Okay, $350 billion a year, and we have not broken. That's a mercantilist system. They play by a set of rules, and they demand those rules are enforced. In the United States, total free trade, and they say, well, hey, we got jobs created. Jobs at McDonald's and Taco Bell and service jobs are not manufacturing jobs. Think when our cities, think when Baltimore was great, and Detroit was great, and St. Louis was great. It was manufacturing jobs that made it great. Because in a manufacturing job, you can support a family. And the community has other money with other service industries around it. You cannot support an advanced economy on service jobs. The elites are going to tell you that, right? Because they don't care. And it's both Republican and Democrat. It's both Silicon Valley, Wall Street, Hollywood, and the imperial capital of Washington, D.C. They do not care about you. And that's not me saying that. That's not me. The facts are incontrovertible. Look at what President Trump inherited. Look at the financial crisis of 2008. Financial crisis of 2008. I think my numbers may be wrong. May not totally be accurate. I am the executive chairman of Breitbart, so it may not be totally accurate.
He's got a sense of humor, too. I'll say that for him.
I think two-thirds of minority net worth was wiped out. Two-thirds of minority was wiped out. The community banks were completely eviscerated. Every form of access to capital and every reform that was put in made it harder to get access to capital. Did the minority community cause the biggest financial crisis in the history of the country? Absolutely not. By the way, what happened on the financial crisis? My old firm, Goldman Sachs, the day after, I think, when Hank Paulson, Secretary of Treasury, went and saw President Bush, I think it was 2 days later, they became a bank holding company with a stroke of a pen and two lines. And you bankers know what it is. They borrow free from the Fed at zero interest rates. They make how many tens of billions of dollars a year? Did anybody in this room get that bailout? Any community bank get a bailout? Was the SBA recapitalized because of that? Did private equity or venture capital come into your community? Absolutely not. The solution to the financial crisis, what was the solution? Not just the bailouts. The bailouts are just the thing on the top. It was the liquidity infusion by the central banks. They were going to inflate their way out of here by inflating assets. So if you own real estate or if you own stocks, it's been the greatest run you've ever had. And you know who predicted that? A guy named Donald Trump. Wasn't it like 2011? Trump says, if you own real estate now, you're going to go on a great run. He saw what was happening. But if you're a worker with a high school education and real dollars, you know you haven't had a raise since 1972. You know, all the elites in the media all day long, all they do is say, why are these people so angry? Why is Bannon so angry? Why are people angry? If you're not angry, you don't have a brain. Right?
No
this
shit.
This system is rigged. And it's rigged.
No, and the whole election of Donald Trump is because of this system. And so, again, listen to Bannon. Close your eyes. Pretend it's not 2017. Pretend it's like 20 or 1960, and he's a Democrat. And listen, he's talking about jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Rigged, because if you're out of the room, you're out of the deal. Right? How did Wall Street get bailed out? By the way, President Obama, he had like three commissions, and I'm not faulting President Obama this. President Obama had three separate commissions. They all came back with who should be held liable, who should be held accountable. The Justice Department, I don't think there's one guy at a bank. I don't think there's been one share of stock. There hasn't been one penny of bonus. There hasn't been one guy in jail. How did that happen? I tell you how it happened, because they don't think you have any power. Right? The guys that have power got bailed out. Now think about it for a second. Just do the math I just talked about. You've had the rise of China, particularly since the late 1990s, early 2000s, when Democrat and Republicans, the Clintons and the Bushes, told us if you give them most favored nation treatment, if you let them into WTO, if you let them get into the entire rules-based post-war international order that the United States underwrites, everything would be fine. Well, guess what? That's not a small mistake. That's a massive mistake, right? They had no intention of doing that. If you read all the papers of President Xi and all the guys around him, they had no intention of doing that. They have their own set of rules where they have an absolute closed economy while the United States has a totally open economy, where they have forced technology transfers. If you just do the math, the $3.5 trillion of forced technology transfers coupled with $5.6 trillion for fighting the war on terror. And by the way, that's not an entire defense budget. That's what, $10 trillion? What would this country look like if $10 trillion was reinvested in this country? What would it look like if you guys had a piece of that? What happens if black and Hispanic entrepreneurs had $0.5 trillion to invest? This would be a totally different country. Right? So how did it happen? Here's how it happened. The elites in this country have made out like bandits. Stock market's all-time high. And I realize President Trump says you got 401ks. He's absolutely correct. The stock rise under President Trump's been unprecedented, right? It's been fantastic. And workers have benefited from it. But that's not the point. The point is that the elites are quite comfortable, and this is both Republican, regardless of political party. To me, political parties don't matter anymore. Everything you see on cable TV, our good friends at MSNBC and CNN and Fox, everything you see in the foreground is pro wrestling. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's just noise.
Okay. He stole that from me. Right? Now, if you've listened to this program, you've heard me say that on a number of occasions. What you see on television, right, relative to politics, what you see on the news, it's not news anymore. It's newstainment. There's an element of the WWE involved in there. Okay? It's designed to be entertainment for you, not to be news. All right? Just like the WWF. It's not sports. It's sports entertainment. There's theatrics involved. Why? Because there's ratings involved. And your news is no different. He stole that from me. Unbelievable.
It's just noise. The real action is what takes place behind the curtain. Why are 7 of the 9 richest counties in this country around Washington, D.C.? Right? Why, for the first time since the development of the silicon chip, that Washington, D.C. has a higher per capita income than Silicon Valley? And Silicon Valley is the greatest creator of wealth in mankind's history. It's because it's not the $4 trillion federal budget you've got. It's all the off-balance sheet cash they got to play with, too. Remember, we have $20 trillion face amount of debt. That's just tiny. The contingent liabilities, depending on what your assumptions are, anywhere from $60 trillion to $200 trillion. The global stock markets the other day, I think it was on Friday, they reached the total aggregate amount of value in the global stock markets reached, I think it was $100 trillion. Am I correct? I saw that number, $100 trillion. How much has that gone to the middle class of this country? How much has gone to the working class in this country? Here's a scam, and here's what economic nationalism does not care about your color, your race, your ethnicity. It doesn't care about your religion. It doesn't care about your gender. It doesn't care about your sexual preference. That's all irrelevant.
Did you hear that? Doesn't care about any of that stuff. Interesting.
Cares about only one thing. You're a citizen of the United States of America. Remember, illegal immigration and the trade deals are two sides of the same coin. It's to suppress the wages of workers, right? The terrible trade deals are to have unfair competition among our workers, right? That's what it is. The whole thing is because it's made cheaper over there. You don't need to tell the people in Ohio. They know where the jobs went. The jobs went to Asia. This wasn't the second law of thermodynamics. There's no law of physics that said that had to happen. That is human agency made that decision. It was going to happen, and it went. You know, J.D. Vance wrote this book called Hillbilly Elegies. It's about the white working class in the upper Midwest states, you know, around his family. And J.D. was a guy to point out to me the study that was done at MIT and at Harvard that talked about the opioid crisis. There's a direct correlation between the factories that left, the jobs that left, the workers left behind, and the opioid addiction crisis. You folks know that. You go out in these communities in the upper Midwest. We're losing a civilization. We're losing a civic society that has been built over many generations. That's on our watch. That's why Trump won. When I came to the campaign, I think it was mid-August. He's 16 points down, double digits in the battleground states. All these numbers were horrific. And we had a talk. It didn't matter. The underlying numbers, two-thirds, one-third, thought the country was on the wrong track. But the most important number, a guy named Pat Cadell gave me, 75% of the American people thought America was in decline.
Pat Cadell is a political pollster. You'll see him on a number of different stations. I think you see him a lot on CNN. But he's an interesting guy because he pays attention to numbers, and he's not afraid to buck the trend. He doesn't shill for anybody. Pat Cadell is interesting guy to read and to listen to.
And here's the fundamental difference. The elites are comfortable with that. They are comfortable by managing our decline because they're going to make just as much money on the way down as they made on the way up. Okay? And they have control. And here's the bet Trump made. The working men and women in this country are not comfortable with that. They're not comfortable with a declining America. They're not prepared to cede to China that it's going to be a hegemonic power in 30 years. Right? Because life in this country will be radically different. And he's not about to do that. He's not prepared to do that. The campaign was basically run on three simple principles. Number one, we're going to stop mass illegal immigration and limit legal immigration. Here's the reason. You can't save the black and Hispanic and white working class while you have unlimited illegal immigration. I'm a capitalist. I believe in supply. I went to Harvard Business School and worked at Goldman Sachs. I'm a real capitalist. I believe in supply and demand. What the Chamber of Commerce and what the capitalists and what the guys on Wall Street want, they want more labor and competition with our citizens. I get it. Higher operating margin, higher stock price. Okay? It's destroying civic society because it's destroying the education system. It's destroying the healthcare system. But they don't have to pay for it. The workers in this country pay for it. The bad trade deals are the stopping illegal immigration is the same thing.
Okay, did you hear that? He's talking about labor. He's talking about labor. You know, so when I was listening to this the other day, I'm listening to it thinking, this doesn't sound like a Republican. I mean, he's talking about small businesses and capital and things like that, but he's talking about labor and jobs and industry, and it doesn't sound very Republican. It sounds Main Street America, which is why to me it's so fascinating, you know, this concept of economic nationalism tied to our national security. And it's a reason why you don't start stupid wars. And it's a reason why we should have done what we did in Afghanistan, told them not to do it again, and left. Why? Because you don't want to own Afghanistan because it costs too much money. It's a waste of too much American money. And think about him. You know, the money spent in Afghanistan since 2002, when we could have got out of there after we, you know, knocked the Taliban out, and after we should have killed Osama bin Laden then, but we didn't. We didn't do it very well. You know, can you imagine? And then what happens if we didn't start the war? All this ass pain, in my opinion, could have been avoided with all that money being used for other purposes. But again, close your eyes. And when he's talking about jobs and industry, that's that used to be a Democratic message. So it's really astounding to listen to him.
B-1 visas. Why are we so adamant about H-1 visas? The STEM program, we've turned the elementary schools over to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. You know this. Your kids can't even learn art or history anymore. They're always, every day is getting ready for the test. Science, technology, engineering, and math. You know why? That's the jobs of the future. There's one big problem with that. Where are they in the engineering schools? I went to a state engineering school, right? I went to Virginia Tech. You go to Tech today. What is it? I don't get the wrong number. Two-thirds are Asian students. Black and Hispanic kids can't get in there. And here's what it is. It's not the Asian students' fault.
Okay, listen to this, because this is important. And it's gone on in California like you can't even believe. But it's gone on around the nation because out-of-state tuition, right, out-of-country tuition is through the roof. And guess how they pay for their nice little college? They pay by excluding young American kids that ought to be in those schools.
But they're paying full freight. And a state kid, black or Hispanic, is paying the $15,000. It's that arbitrage that the universities want. It's a scam. It's a total scam. Our kids are they're no dumber. They're just as smart. They need the opportunity. If you don't get in the engineering schools, you can't go to Silicon Valley. And Silicon Valley says, we got to have these HB1 visas because we need these Einsteins. We need these geniuses. And you look at it, and I said, this is interesting. I think the average pay on an HB1 visa is $102,000 or something. I said, man, you're paying Einstein not a lot of money. It's a scam. What they want is a higher, they want lower labor costs. They want American kids to have to compete on a global basis with the world. By the way, American kids can compete. But for a job in the United States of America, underwritten by America, American capital and American rule of law and American protection, that job should go to a kid from America. And I realize your operating margin is not going to be as high, but there's other things than a return on equity. I'm a capitalist. But the folks that built this country in the 19th and the early 20th century, not everything was net present value. Not everything was about return on investment. They understood we were building a civic society. The reason we won World War II, it was those people in the 19th and 20th century that built an industrial powerhouse that could defeat the Nazis, defeat the fascists, defeat the military junta in Japan. That was built over decades by American labor.
American labor, now we're talking. And in my opinion, and I've followed this argument for a long time, it is absolute folly to think the world is going to, that we can go to this globalized system and that our responsibility to allow these industries to be exported and having treaties that support the exportation of those industries, of that labor, of those jobs, of our middle class, that's somehow in America's best interest. Right? It certainly is in Mexico's best interest. No doubt about that. But it certainly is not in America's best interest. And again, I go back to Theodore Roosevelt when he's coming to be president after McKinley's assassinated. And he's looking at this country that's on that doesn't have child labor law, doesn't have an 8-hour workday, right? Unions have to fight, physically fist fight, to get in places. And the bosses run industry. And Roosevelt takes all that on because he knows in order to, for the United States to be stable, it's got to have a huge middle class. A huge middle class. And guess what we're losing? Through this vision of globalism, we've lost our middle class. The dream of upward mobility is vanishing. And all you have to do is look at polls, look at numbers about economic hope to know that. But his message is astounding, and it's that it's so democratic historically.
And we've forgotten that. This city's forgotten it. Wall Street's forgotten it. It's devil catch the hindmost. And it's the American worker and the American entrepreneur that's gotten stiffed. Now, if you look at President Trump's program, just economic nationalism. You won't hear this from the mainstream media. You won't read it in the Wall Street Journal, and you won't read it in the Financial Times of London because they're globalists. What I said in the foreground is all about pro wrestling. It's irrelevant. The big fight in this city is one fight between the globalists that run it and the nationalists that want to take it back. And with nationalists, it's not ethno-nationalism. It's not ethno. That's crazy. It's you hear that from the mainstream media and these cranks on the right, on the far right, that are trying to draft off and get some free media time. This is about American workers, regardless of your race, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your religion, regardless of your gender or your sexual preference. American workers have to have some rights. And those rights is they don't have to compete unfairly with the world. That's the revolution we're talking about. That's why the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times of London, I just got back from Scotland talking to the 50 guys over there. They're afraid to death of this. They took me to China. I talked about it over there. They're afraid to death of this because they realize that when the American working man and American entrepreneurs take over, it's going to be a different deal. And that's President Trump. Look at the program he set up already. Let's just talk about some math. I think it's, what, 3.3% growth? 3.3% growth in the latest quarter. The New York Fed projects in the fourth quarter this year, 3.9% growth. He's got lowest black unemployment in 17 years. I think lowest Hispanic unemployment in 11 years. Overall lowest employment of 17 years. I realize those numbers, the unemployment numbers, are not perfect. And we're not talking about all great jobs. But at least the first thing is get people back to work. Get labor force participation up. The key stats to look at are wages. Look at wages in agriculture and in construction, particularly at the lowest level, are starting to increase. Why? You're finally starting to restrict illegal alien labor from competing against American workers. Why has this happened? The animal spirits of capitalism have been unleashed. Business confidence is, what, at a 20-year high? Investments up 10%? Overseas investments? Economic nationalism is telling Germany and China and Japan that tariffs are coming, and new trade deals are coming, and quotas are coming, and that's why they're investing here. They're not going to do us any favors. By the way, the second part of that, to take that was, number one, was to stop, you know, mass illegal immigration and limit legal immigration. Number two is bring jobs back. Number three was get us out of these pointless foreign wars that have sucked the lifeblood out of us. On the $5.6 trillion. On the jobs, you're not going to wave a magic wand and those jobs are going to come back. They're not going to come back easily. You saw that in the trip to China. It's going to take tough trade negotiations. It's going to take tough enforcement. You know, President Trump has this 301, which is to enforce U.S. trade laws so that China cannot demand our technology for access to the market. I think it's maybe the single most important thing he's done in administration. I think he's done tremendous things. But if you look at his plan, and this is before the tax cut, 3.3 to 3.9% before the tax cut. Now, is the tax cut perfect? No. Okay? It's just not. You know, Paul Ryan had this theory of border-adjustable taxes and export credits and really flipping corporate finance on its head over the last 50 years and really make, you know, take the advantage away from leverage, give it to equity, let you, you know, 100% write off capital investment in period zero. That plan went nowhere. I was a big proponent of that plan. I thought it was fantastic. But it would take many years for people to understand it. So it went by the wayside. Let's be honest. This plan is not so much tax reform. I think it's a pretty significant, if not massive, tax cut. And it is weighted to the corporations. It's kind of, I think, the last of the big Reagan concept tax cuts. And the theory is that that is going to be an accelerant to an economy that's already starting to see the green sprouts of economic nationalism, and it will add to that. That increased profitability, and I don't need to tell entrepreneurs that, will lead to more investment. And that reinvestment will lead to more jobs. I realize it's not perfect. I don't think it's fundamental tax reform. I think that's coming in the future. But
all right. This is, for those of you that may have just joined it, this is Steve Bannon and talking about, let's see, this, he did this a week ago, on December 5th. He's speaking at the Black Americans for a Better Future Summit. And that is a political action committee designed to get more blacks involved in the Republican Party. Okay, but his message here is his message of economic nationalism, which we've heard about. What does that mean? Right? And people will tell you that it's a... you know, it's this nefarious effort. It's racist, and so as you listen to it, it's historically a Democratic message, which I find interesting here. But you know, his footnotes about, you know, about things relative to trade with China and things like that. The United States has been, this is my opinion from watching it. The United States has been absolutely pummeled over the years by our own trade, President's about to sign the National Defense Authorization Act. You see the Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You see General Neller there. Everybody assembled. So, waiting on the big man. I love that. It's funny to look and see your friends in there. That's awesome.
But I think President Trump, at least, in the Senate and the House are trying to get something done that can be significant. And I believe it sets us up with a growing economy to really look at fundamental tax reform going forward. One of the things I'm most pleased about this, and this took guys like Bernie Marcus and the Job Creators Network and entrepreneurs like yourself to fight hard so that the pass-through, so that the taxes for the entrepreneurs start to look at what it is for the global corporations. And I think it's not perfect. It's certainly not perfect, but it's much better than it was. And if we can get this passed, I think it'll be much better in the future. Let me get specific about what I think has to happen. And what I'm asking you and trying to enlist you guys to help me, because I don't have all the answers, right? Directionally, I can see where this has got to go. Directionally, I see where the American people want it to go. But I think a number of things have to happen. Number one, and I think it's like a 5-point program. The first is access to capital. We have to get real about recapitalizing the community banks. We need the same type of bailout that Wall Street got to the community banks. And I've told Raynard, I think there's, since the last talk I gave, the last discussion I had with black and Hispanic entrepreneurs, I think there's 7 charters going through of community banks. I'm committed, and I told Raynard this, I'm committed to work with any group that wants to start up a community bank that will lend into minority communities. I'm prepared to work and hopefully bring, you know, access to capital to do that. Community banks to me are central to this. Also, we have to start to incentivize private equity. If we're going to keep carried interest, right? If we're going to keep carried interest, somehow we have to get, and this is a process we've got to work through, to incentivize venture capital, private equity, and the hedge funds to invest in minority businesses. One of the things we have to do right away, by the way, also all the regulation that came up after the financial crisis, as bad as it was for the big banks, it killed the small entrepreneurs. It literally killed the community banks and it killed people trying to lend to black and Hispanic entrepreneurs because the paperwork alone. I think what President Trump has done is what I call deconstruction of the administrative state. What that is to try to get to a more entrepreneurial environment for people just like yourself. And so I think that's absolutely central. I also think the new market tax credit, the thing that's in the Senate, look, it's $5 billion. It's a rounding error. Did I just say that we're spending in Afghanistan this year, your tax money is going to $50 billion. And we're up there begging for $5 billion for the new market tax credit, which makes total sense. Have we lost a sense of our priorities? Have we lost a sense of our priorities? By the way, you've got to understand something. The reason the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal hate me and the reason I'm over in Scotland, they're all spitting on the floor when I'm talking. But here's the scam. Here's the scam. It's this fetish they have for this thing called the International Rules-Based Post-War Liberal Order.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear about the International Rules-Based Order, post-World War Order. But again, I found this absolutely riveting stuff the other day. This economic agenda tied to our national security, and how do you re-engineer the middle class of this country and stop exporting it? More of Almarine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who are led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Cup of coffee with the first sunlight.
We continue on a Tuesday. Mike McNamara with you, 909. Gunner's a bit under the weather, so he's not going to join us today. Having headaches. So, we'll talk to him. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk tomorrow. Maybe we won't. We're talking about economic nationalism, but I want to take a quick break. And, the president just signed the National Defense Authorization Act. So, he's speaking from, I believe, I don't know which room in the White House, but, here he is. Oh, this television stuff is tricky. All right.
Increase in military spending. He's speaking now. Let's listen.
Historic legislation demonstrates our unwavering commitment to our men and women in uniform. The greatest fighting force in the history of the world, and we're making it a lot better than even that. Before we begin, I want to address the terrorist attack that took place yesterday in New York City, and to praise the first responders, local police, and federal law enforcement for their quick action. They did an incredible job. There have now been two terrorist attacks in New York City in recent weeks carried out by foreign nationals. Here on green cards, the first attacker came through the visa lottery and the second through chain migration. We're going to end both of them. The lottery system and chain migration. We're going to end them fast. Congress must get involved immediately, and they are involved immediately, and I can tell you we have tremendous support. They will be ended. These attacks underscore the dangers we face from around the globe. The National Defense Authorization Act could not come at a more opportune or important time. This legislation represents a momentous step toward rebuilding our military and securing the future for our children. I applaud the work of the members of both parties who came together to pass the National Defense Authorization Act, which passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, something that sounds very nice to my ears. I especially want to thank Chairman Thornberry, who is here with us today, for his tireless efforts. Thank you, man. Thank you. It was a great job. Fantastic job. In recent years, our military has undergone a series of deep budget cuts that have severely impacted our readiness, shrunk our capabilities, and placed substantial burdens on our warfighters. And great warfighters they are. History teaches us that when you weaken your defenses, you invite aggression. The best way to prevent conflict or of any kind is to be prepared. And really be prepared. Only when the good are strong will peace prevail. Today, with the signing of this defense bill, we accelerate the process of fully restoring America's military might. I also want to thank Senator John McCain for the work he's done on this bill. He has fought very, very hard to make it just the way he wants it and that we all want it. This legislation will enhance our readiness, expand our modernize our forces, and help provide our service members with the tools that they need to fight and win. We will fight and win, but hopefully with this we won't have to fight because people will not be wanting to fight with us. It authorizes funding for our continued campaign to obliterate ISIS. As you know, we've won in Syria, we've won in Iraq, but they spread to other areas, and we're getting them as fast as they spread. We've had more success with ISIS in the last 8 months than the entire previous administration has had during its entire term. It approves missile defense capabilities as we continue our campaign to create maximum pressure on the vile dictatorship in North Korea. We're working very diligently on that, building up forces. We'll see how it all turns out. It's a very bad situation, a situation that should have been handled long ago by other administrations. It upgrades our ground combat vehicles, allows for the purchase of new joint strike fighter aircraft, and paves the way for beautiful new Virginia-class submarines, the finest in the world. Finally, the defense bill authorizes major investments in our military's greatest weapon of all, its warriors. The NDAA increases the size of the American Armed Forces for the first time in 7 years, and it provides our military service members with their largest pay increase in 8 years. Now Congress must finish the job by eliminating the defense sequester and passing a clean appropriations bill. I think it's going to happen. We need our military. It's got to be perfecto. At this time of grave global threats, I urge Democrats in Congress to drop their shutdown threats and to send clean funding and a clean funding bill to my desk that fully funds our great military. Protecting our country should always be a bipartisan issue, just like today's legislation. We must work across party lines to give our heroic troops the equipment, resources, and support that they have earned 1,000 times.
President Trump is talking about the National Defense Authorization Act right now. He's got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the vice president, the service chiefs, and the Secretary of Defense all at the White House for this.
It won't be that long. We will be stronger than ever before by a lot. So thank you to all of our friends in Congress, and we do appreciate the bipartisan support, and we appreciate your hard work on this historic defense authorization. And thank you most of all to our brave warriors for standing watch over our country, our families, and our freedom. Brand new, beautiful equipment is on its way. The best you've ever had by far. We make the best in the world, and you're going to have it. God bless you. God bless our military, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That is the President of the United States. He's got a host of people that at the White House, and he's for the signing ceremony, Secretary Mattis and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as they make their way. I don't know. There's some maybe it's for pens. You know, one of the things that is a lost art is the art of the signature. And Donald Trump got a good signature. He got a good signature.
There you have it.
The President of the United States. All right, back to Steve Bannon. All right, we're talking about economic nationalism. What is it? What is the message? It sounds strangely reminiscent of pro-union American business. And that's why I wanted to share it with you. It's not a message. You listen to all these discussions about the exportation of American industry. And, you know, so why are we doing that? So we can get toilet paper cheaper? I don't care about that. Do I care that I have to pay a dollar more do I care that I have to pay $5 more for my groceries? No, hell no. You know, there is a price for economic security. There's a price to sustain the nation. And what I've seen in this whole globalization discussion is the guts being ripped out of the middle class of the United States. Bannon talks about it.
And that is a series of commercial relationships, trade deals, capital.
Let me rewind it about 20 seconds.
Total sense? Have we lost a sense of our priorities? Have we lost a sense of our priorities? By the way, you've got to understand something. The reason the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal hate me, and the reason I'm over in Scotland, they're all spitting on the floor when I'm talking. But here's the scam. Here's the scam. It's this fetish they have for this thing called the International Rules-Based Post-War Liberal Order. And that is a series of commercial relationships, trade deals, capital markets, and security agreements. And what it is, from Western Europe, where we basically underwrite their security, to the Gulf, where we underwrite their security, to the Indian Ocean, where we underwrite their security, to the Straits of Malacca and the South China Sea and all the littoral countries, where we underwrite their security, to Korea and Japan and the Northwest Pacific, which we underwrite their security. Every trade deal we're upside down on. And I hear the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times in London is going to say, Bannon doesn't know what he's talking about. Negative trade deals are fine. That's a growing economy. Tell that to the folks in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, the jobs that went overseas. You want to solve the opioid crisis? We got to take on the drug crisis. You want to solve the opioid crisis? I got a solution for you. Let's bring those jobs back to America and we'll solve it.
There you have it. Economic nationalism, man. Bring those jobs back. Oh, we can't do that. Bullshit, we can't.
You want to solve the inner city problem in this country? I got a real solution for you. Put capital to work. Bring manufacturing jobs back, and those cities will go through a renaissance. It's not the people is the problem. It's the system's the problem. We underwrite I was there, and some guy that used to run NATO stood up and says, you know, Mr. Bannon, you know, he's a Scottish guy, nice guy. He says, here's the problem. He says, we've got in NATO, we're your allies, and and we do this, but, you know, we have regional responsibilities. You have global responsibilities. I said, shipmate, that's the problem. The EU is the size of the United States of America. It has about 350 million people. Its economy is like $15 trillion. But their mindset is that, hey, they got their deal, and they'll put a minimum in as possible. Well, we, you know, they can. Musk and all the geniuses in Silicon Valley. You hear it every day. If you read the journals and you see what's coming, you see the developments are coming, you see the convergence going to take.
All right, hold on. I don't know why I just skipped there, but let me just rewind it back.
This country, I got a real solution for you. Put capital to work, bring manufacturing jobs back, and those cities will go through a renaissance. It's not the people is the problem. It's the system's the problem. We underwrite. I was there, and some guy that used to run NATO stood up and says, you know, Mr. Bannon, you know, he's a Scottish guy, nice guy. He says, here's the problem. He says, we've got in NATO, we're your allies, and and we do this, but, you know, we have regional responsibilities. You have global responsibilities. I said, shipmate, that's the problem. The EU is the size of the United States of America. It has about 350 million people. Its economy is like $15 trillion. But their mindset is that, hey, they got their deal, and they'll put a minimum in as possible. Well, we, you know, they can.
It's them,
Musk,
not me.
And all the geniuses in Silicon Valley. You hear it every day. If you read the journals and you see what's coming, you see the developments are coming, you see the convergence is going to take place. Now I have one question for you. Are you comfortable ceding those decisions to the scientific, technocratic, managerial elite that have run this world for this thing called globalization? Are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable turning over to your children and grandchildren's fate on the same people and the same institutions that made the decisions on globalization? Well, I'm not. And I'll tell you another thing. The working men and women in this country are not either, and here's why. They do not believe in the decline of this country. They believe that the best days of this country are ahead of it. As soon as their voice is heard, as soon as they're in the room, and I'm committed to you and this foundation and everything else I do, there's nothing else more important in my life, and there's nothing else more important in American life. I want to thank you for having me, and I'll now take some questions.
Okay, when he walked into the room and he was introduced, a few people stood up for him. At the end of his talk, the whole room stands up. Interesting. Interesting. And again, his message is not an elite message, which is almost, you know, I don't want to say anti-Republican, but it's not Republican. His message is a Democratic message of opportunity, of jobs, of American, of the American worker. So it's a very interesting Republican message. All right. They do a little bit of Q&A, which is interesting.
I got to take some questions. Yes, sir. You're right there.
My name is Robert Flackle from Chicago. One of the things, the fake things I wish you would address are the fake minority business programs that were created because of what happened to black people. Now everybody benefits from those things except black people. What Republicans should do is to focus more on the demand side when it comes to business, because the truth is nobody does business with black people. So just try this experiment once. Try to name two black famous entrepreneurs that don't have anything to do with entertainment. You can't name them. We don't participate in technology. We don't participate in finance, the places that have created wealth, which means that we don't have the opportunity to develop our communities like other people have. At the end of the day, you can have access to capital, but without access to customers, you're not going to have anything, and that's where we are today. I wish you guys would look more at that, and the president would go after these fake minority pass-through deals that these big companies do, where black people get nothing, and they talk about minorities a lot, which everybody's a minority except a straight, white, non-veteran male. We need to do something about black people getting business so that we don't have to beg for things and we can take care of our own people.
So you just signed up for a task force for me, okay? No, seriously. I'll be honest. I don't know enough about the issues, but that's what we got to learn to work together. But I want to say one thing. My parents' home is in the north side of Richmond. We've lived there for almost 70 years, and when the white flight took to the suburbs, you know, we stayed behind. And it's predominantly the north side of Richmond. It's predominantly black working class, middle class neighborhood. But I'll tell you one thing. You can go around my neighborhood and you never see a Starbucks. You know, you never see a Blockbuster. You never see any of the national franchises, right? It's quite evident that they've made some sort of demographic or economic analysis and they don't go there. And that's wrong. I do disagree with you on one thing. I think there's enough entrepreneurial spirit, enough savvy, and enough just grit and determination that if we take care of two things, number one is making sure in these STEM programs we start to get young black and Hispanic kids into engineering schools and then jobs in Silicon Valley so that expertise and that technology expertise will build up, coupled with access to capital, and we're maniacal about that, of getting these companies. By the way, we have a lot of failures. Remember, most entrepreneurs fail. Right? It's like 6 out of 10 fail, a couple make it okay, and one makes it good. I think it's 1 out of 10. It's if we get capital and get the expertise, I think the customers will come. But by the way, so Raynard, one of the things we're trying to do is set up task forces to also help talk to the president and other people up here in Capitol Hill and the administration of exactly what's needed. So thanks for the... Yes, ma'am, right?
Oh. Thank you so much, Mr. Bannon. My name is George Farrell. I'm with a group called Black Pack. We also do the Blacks for Trump, so you've seen our famous guy behind Trump. We endorse Donald Trump almost before any other black group called Black Pack. And what I want to do is thank you for your strategy, for your movement, and for having the bravery to come out here, maybe not bravery, but the passion to come out here and address that. And you're right. We do need access to capital. We need to have more black companies go public, like Reggie, the museum in Baltimore. But the question is...
I don't know. He's on a roll. I kind of like this.
The question is, Donald Trump has not hired enough blacks in positions that we need him to be in. That's one of the weaknesses that we have. Can you open that door to get him to put more blacks, Hispanics into those positions? Because for people who put our names on the line, like me and Raynard, it kicks back at us when we don't see enough blacks in positions so we can say, hey, we've made a difference with the president.
It's inexcusable. Yeah. There's no excuse for it. It's just inexcusable. You can't defend it because it's inexcusable, and here's why. It didn't take any courage for me to come up here today. You know why? If we don't help the situation with black and Hispanic entrepreneurs that will be the vanguard, we're not going to turn this country around. We're not going to do it. You understand the responsibility you have on your shoulders, right?
You know, this is really interesting when he talks about turning the country around and how it's going to happen. And one other thing is how it's not going to happen. Now, if you don't embrace this, if we don't open these gates, if we don't bring jobs back here, right? What happens to the nation?
It's not going to happen. We're going to have two things in this country. We're going to have either a prosperous, free America that takes its place with America first, where it's in the vital national security interest. We're not saying come home. We're not isolationists. We want to be engaged in the world on America's terms, right? Where it's in the vital national security interest of the United States, it'll be in the vital national security interest of our allies, not protectorates. You're seeing that in the Gulf right now. So that's why I came today. You guys are, you men and women are absolutely vital, as you've seen on the campaign, right?
Yes.
He got, by the way, the first thing I did when I got to the campaign was say, hey, we got to go, let's go to Mexico, see the president. Jared had it set up. Let's go to Mexico, see the president. And let's go to Flint, Michigan. She's not going to go to Flint, Michigan. Let's go to Flint, Michigan. These are the problems that got to be solved, right? If we don't solve these, we're kidding ourselves. If we don't solve these problems, if we don't have access to technology jobs by black and Hispanic kids, if we don't stop the unfair competition against Hispanic and black working class men and women, if we don't get capital to black and Hispanic entrepreneurs, if we don't do those three things, we're not going to sort this country out. And trust me, you see what the cultural Marxists on the left, where they have us going. You're going to have a revolution in 15 to 20 years. Right? There's no doubt about that. We either get this sorted now, and we get it sorted with you folks, or we're not going to get it sorted. And by the way, it's totally inexcusable. And I hope and I think that there's action being taking place to solve that. But, as Rainer would tell you, a big part of what I'm trying to do in this foundation is to make sure that you guys have a voice so we can hammer that every day. Thanks. I got time for two. I got time for two more questions. Okay. Fine.
Steve, you mentioned the development funds that are coming online. Well, Ryan is part of the team that's putting together those development funds around seven cities across the U.S. So we'll definitely be following up with you on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up and just say that that's what we were. I'm working on that as well. Oh, sorry. Thank you. I was actually on the Trump campaign as well, so thank you for all you've done and helped out.
Okay, thanks. By the way, so this the development bank situation, and Rainer, I want to talk to you about that. Anything I can do, and people tell you I'm a tireless worker, right? Sometimes I get a little heated. But by the way, if you didn't get heated, if you saw, you guys see it. I mean, if it didn't drive a rational man crazy, then you're not rational. Yes, sir. Okay, we got time for one more question. I'm really... The reason is I got to get on a plane to Alabama for Judge...
I have a very important question for you,
Mr. Van.
By the way, that's what... Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I'm fully support your American identity because I'm from Harvard, you know, Kennedy School. What I'm from my research, I find, I'm researching China. I'm also originally from China. I research China and the U.S. The question is, we found in Harvard, 90%, the liberal people that vote for Hillary, you know, and the student lost the identity for the next generation. That's a key problem for American. So I just wonder, do you have any plan to help this, our next generation people, all the children to understand and safeguard our identity and keep American first?
This is a question about our education system and where it's going to teach and patriotism and everything like that. That is a problem we have to sort out. And I think we're going to have to fight for that.
Yes.
But here's the way I think we get it going.
Right.
We show those American kids that we're prepared to fight for their jobs, that we're prepared to fight for their future,
yes,
that we're not going to let unlimited competition from around the world take their birthright.
Yes.
Remember, it was think about all the folks that came before you. Think about two, three, four generations before you. All the hard work and grit and determination that it took to get here, right? Remember, in Burke's theorem, we owe as much to the past as we owe to the future. We can go on some highfalutin thing of American patriotism or that. Hopefully that'll come. But let's show these kids something fundamental. Let's show that we're prepared to fight for their jobs. Let's show that we're not going to let the world come and destroy their economic future. Okay? Let's run it economically like China runs it. Right? Let's just become a... I know protectionism is a... It's called the P word. Right? Not supposed to use it. All I want to do is make sure that manufacturing jobs, not service jobs, manufacturing jobs come back to this country. There's no magic wand that we're going to wave, and it's going to be okay.
Steve, we have one last question.
Okay, yes, sir.
Mr. Bannon, I'm a former 33-year economic development professional, and I was a skeptic until I heard your comments this afternoon. So thank you for that.
Thank you for coming.
I have put together a strategy that would help black and Hispanic entrepreneurs actually be able to use capital they already have and invest it in their business to leverage other capital and to grow their companies. How can I work? How can people like me work with you?
Okay, well, you got to get to Rainer, but here's for everybody in the audience. We're going to set up task force, and these are people that know me will tell you. I'm not a guy who's going to have a task force or some committee just to have a paper. We're in this to get action. You know, one thing that I pride myself is I get results, right? And so I want to work with you. That's why I came today. I wanted to meet you guys, and we're going to work together. You know, I want to say one thing before I go about Judge Bork, about Alabama. You know, I'm a street fighter, and I'm proud to be a street fighter. This country needs somebody to fight for it. And people in this country, workers in this country, need somebody to work to fight for them. I fought for Trump, and I fought for Judge Moore. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'll tell you one thing. We backed off the Republican establishment that was prepared to toss this seat to the Democrats. And you know why? Because they would rather play their games up here in Washington, D.C., than let the people of Alabama have a decision. Okay? Whatever the outcome is, whatever Jones or Moore, at least now we've got a little bit sorted that the Republicans are backing a Republican candidate. And the Democrats are going to back a Democratic candidate. This thing of the establishment putting a knife in everybody that wants to fight for a nationalist agenda is wrong, and it's got to end. And so what I'm committing to you today is just one thing. I'm prepared to put my shoulder to the wheel for you guys. And people will tell you, if you're in a foxhole, Bannon's not a bad guy to have with you. Thank you.
The interesting, huh? And again, nothing revolutionary. Maybe some protectionism, but again, ask yourself this question: How does the middle class, the great middle class that has slowly been dissolving in front of our eyes, as we become a nation of haves and have-nots, how is that restored if it's not restored through industry? Ask yourself, how is it restored? And I think Donald Trump is on the exact right course, and that is this course of the American worker needs a better lot. They need to be treated better. And it's tied into our national security. Tied into our national security. We have to stop exporting jobs. Anyway, I just thought I would share that with you. Because it's, I think it's pretty interesting stuff. So we will we'll take a break. More of All-Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All-Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsocfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Turned it off when you said Bannon's name. I'm not a fan of that dude's. I'm not a fan of Breitbart. But I figured I would give it a listen because you seem to be a pretty common sense guy. Now, I'm not going to... funny. I'm not going to tell you that I like the guy. But for the love of God, what was there to disagree with in his entire remarks? Not much, if you want to ask me. I think the fundamental choice that we will make as Americans will be this concept of globalism, in which everybody seems to come before the American worker. And who are the chief proponents of that? Elite policymakers. It sure as hell doesn't come from the middle class, I can tell you that. It sure doesn't come from people that are trying to get to the middle class, I can tell you that. The other thing I found interesting was him tying labor to the whole issue of immigration. What we hear is that you can't get somebody to do that job. What is true is you can't get somebody to do that job for the price that you want to pay him, which is ridiculously low. And rather than face that music, we continue to import wage earners in the form of illegal immigrants that will do those jobs. That's wrong. It's as wrong can be. And it punishes American labor. Those wages ought to be higher. People should pay more for their Big Mac. And you do that because that's what supports the country. Go buy your Big Mac in Mexico. Oh, you don't want to eat Big Macs there? Why not? Because they don't have an EPA. They don't have OSHA. They don't have the same stringent FDA requirements. Well, guess what, sports fans? All that takes money. So you want to have all these things, but you don't want to pay for them. How in God's name does that work? Well, you can see how it works, and you can see where illegal immigration sits in terms of our economic equation. It's a necessary component. Again, I don't want to tell you I'm a fan of Bannon, but I'm a fan of many of the messages that he spoke of today. Suffice it to say that I will go ahead and put him on my radar and look at other things he said. His support of Roy Moore bothers me. It'll be interesting to see what the people of Alabama do. Can they vote for a liberal on the basis of their moral conscience? And if the vote is split, that certainly elects the Democrat. Interesting times we live. I believe Bannon's message needs to be more articulately conveyed by the president. I don't see a lot of middle-class Americans turning their back on that message. I appreciate that, Mac. In fact, earlier today, when you said today was going to be about learning, I kind of chuckled. But I will say this. I didn't realize that the transgender label applied to so many different groups. I thought it only meant people that wanted to have their physical identity altered. I didn't realize other people that identified with the opposite sex but did not want to have hormonal and surgery treatments are still categorized as such. Interesting. I did learn something in both of the last 2 hours. Many thanks. Enjoy the program. Yeah, again, I'm a resistor too because I saw Bannon as a bad guy. I saw all the stupid stuff that the administration was doing and all the leaks and all that all coming from him. Now, truth be told, there's people that are good running campaigns, and there's people that are good in terms of governance. And sometimes those two don't cross. I think Bannon is a better campaigner and an articulator of a vision by somebody who can be involved in government and make progress in that. I think he's too disruptive of a force when he's on the inside, my own personal opinion. And I think it was a good thing that he left. And I think a lack of turbulence is testament to that. All right. Another email. Mac, question about the transgender thing. This guy who's binary, he's legally defined as neither man nor woman? Yeah, that's what the article said. First person in the United States to ever, and what does that mean? I'm not a man or a woman? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand that. So what do you check when it says sex or gender? What do you do? I don't know. I don't know, but I read that article in a couple of different versions yesterday that he wrote. And consistent throughout was his articulation of, this is who I am. I was the first person legally to be put in this category. So yeah, the whole transgender thing. Moderately interesting. Again, but what I need to be footnoted more is, if your post. If you're a post-surgery person, how long hormone is it? Is the hormone therapy? I was told forever. So again, I think that's the, in terms of being full up round widget, you're not a widget. So that's the whole issue. So I guess when you, there might have to be some kind of medical certification relative to transgender military service. Should they be banned outright? No. But if you've had your gender change and you need hormone therapy, you fall in the category of a diabetic, and we're sorry, but you can't serve. Okay. Good luck. If you're in some other category, that's fine. But I don't, you know. Now there's a third category, you know, females that were formerly males, and your stuff is going to be skewed differently because your pelvis is built for hiking as opposed to childbirth, and your upper body is more robust, so you're going to score, you're going to be a better runner, you're going to score better, you know. Yikes. I guess we can sort that out. How do you do it? How do you weight it? Somebody have an answer to that? Do you have to run the male? You know, do you have to do the male run? And your lungs are different. Your lungs are more robust. That was the other physiological difference that I was told. So, given those, what is the remedy for that? I'm not exactly sure. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. And then if you miss the program, you'll learn something. So if you're just joining us, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and
press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. That'll do it on a Tuesday. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. The program today is it's for you. If you want to learn, again, don't touch that dial. What you'll hear will cover some news headlines. Then you're going to get a little bit of education on transsexuality. Yeah, boom. And then after that, you're going to hear Steve Bannon speak. Right? He's going to talk about economic nationalism. So, as I said, don't touch that dial. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about transsexuals in the military again. Dan Lamoth is going to join us. And then I think Ernest Cardenas, Master Sergeant, former Master Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, infantryman, who's now a contractor and does unmanned aerial systems for the Marine Corps. He's looking for employees, so hopefully he'll join us tomorrow. So you'll hear that. Have a great one. Yeah, so if you're looking for jobs or know somebody that is, I know somebody that's hiring. Stay tuned. All Marine Radio continues right now for your educational benefit on a Tuesday. Over and out.